Travis said that you make around 60,000 decisions a day?
Yes.
No wonder we're tired at the end of the day. That's a lot of decisions. Oh, thank you, Zane. All right, we're going to take a break while I eat my Oreo. It is no wonder we're tired at the end of the day when you think about making 60,000 decisions in a day. And those decisions can be overwhelming. I like Travis's example with the cereal boxes. Tammy, if she's shopping, will call me, and what kind of cereal do you want? And I'm like, I don't know. There's Fruity Pebbles or Lucky Charms or Frosted Flakes or could I be healthy. But we're overwhelmed. But, we have a God that in the decisions in life that will guide us and lead us. And for that, we can be thankful. So thank you for sharing that this morning, Travis. Anyone have a praise they want to share this morning? You know, the first couple songs we sang today, we bring the sacrifice of praise. You know, we think about coming into church just to be fed and what we can get out of the service, but I also hope that we understand that we come to bring something to the service, and that should be our praise. We come to bring a sacrifice of praise to God. So what do you praise Him for today? With that, if you have your Bibles today, I encourage you to get them out, which I hope you've brought your Bible. It is God's Word. It's His message for us. We need to have it, be in it, be listening to it, following it. But we can't do that if we don't have it. So bring your Bibles. We are in the Gospel of John this morning, chapter 20. I'm going to be sharing verses 24 through 29. And the last couple of weeks, we've been looking, we talked about Easter and all the events surrounding Easter. But you know, it's interesting as we look at the events surrounding Easter, we're looking at people's lives. We're looking at how they reacted and the thoughts that went through their mind and the trials and the temptations that they faced during that time of Christ's crucifixion and His rising from the grave. And we're going to continue in that theme and look at that this morning. So John chapter 20, and if you found that, if you're able, I'm going to ask if you'd stand as we read God's Word this morning. John chapter 20, beginning in verse 24. And this is what God shares with us this morning. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in their midst, and said, "Peace be to you." Then says he to Thomas, "Reach here your finger, and behold my hands, and reach here your hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus says to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me and you have believed, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." Let's bow our heads as we pray together this morning. Lord God, again, we thank you for your word. We are blessed to be able to have your word, to be able to carry it with us, to be able to read it whenever we want. But Lord, I pray that we would do more than that. I pray that we would take it to heart. I pray that we would allow it to have an impact on our lives. And that is, again, a choice, as Travis talked this morning. It's a choice that we make. So Lord, I pray that we would make the choice to let your word enter into our minds, into our thoughts, and affect the way that we think, act, react, the ways that we live. Thank you, Lord, for your presence with us this morning. Teach us what you want us to learn. And we ask and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated this morning. So if you remember a couple weeks ago, we're looking primarily right now at the disciples. The perfect group of men that Jesus had called around him, right? Yeah, I made a misstatement there. What was the one word that shouldn't have been in there?
Perfect.
Perfect. The disciples were not perfect, were they? Okay, that's a good thing. Why is that good? That they weren't perfect. Yeah, it means there's hope for us, right? Because none of us are perfect either. And we looked at Judas and the fact that, well, he was pretty imperfect to the point where he betrayed Jesus and the guilt that that brought along, and Satan took advantage of that and devoured Judas. Then we looked at Peter, a strong man of faith that said, I will never deny my Savior. Those were his words, and he was confident in that. And then what happened? Denied Jesus. Not once, not twice, three times. But Jesus restored him and made Peter an amazing man of faith that converted thousands of people and took strong stances for his Lord. Now this morning as we're going to look at a third disciple. We're going to look at Thomas the Brave. You know Thomas the Brave, right? Right? No? Thomas the Honest? Well, who is he? Isn't that, when you think about it, horrible? How would you like to be known as doubting and then put your name in there? Throughout history, you know, if I think of this, that throughout history, if people knew me as Doubting Chris, that would break my heart. That's horrible, isn't it? Would you want that to define who you are and to define your life? And it's interesting because we know him as Doubting Thomas. And here's the thing. Does the Bible ever refer to him as Doubting Thomas? No. You will not find that anywhere in Scripture. We as people have given him the name and given him the reputation really because of one instance in his life. One. And really in this instance, he was not any different than the rest of the disciples. But when I said we could know him as Thomas the Brave, do you know why I said that? Because he was brave. If you look back in John chapter 11, not now, but look back there later. There was an incident, a time when Jesus, you remember the story of Lazarus, right? Yeah. Lazarus died, Jesus eventually went and brought him back to life. But when this first happened and they wanted Jesus to come and see Lazarus, Jesus told his disciples, I need to go back to Judea, which is where Lazarus was. Do you know what the rest of the disciples said? Yeah, we don't think that's a good idea. They wanted to stone you when you were there before, so I don't think we should go back there. Do you know what Thomas said? Let's go. Let's go that we can all die with Jesus. That's what Thomas said. Would you define that as brave? I would, well, maybe crazy, I don't know. But that was what Thomas said. Look, you can look back later in John chapter 11. Thomas said, let us go with him that we may all die with him. That is a man that was committed and a man that was brave. And yet, for some reason, we don't know Thomas as Thomas the Brave, do we? Even though he was the only disciple that said that. We could look on. The other thing I said is we could call him Thomas the Honest. We don't. But we could. If you look in John chapter 14, when Jesus was sharing with the disciples, you know John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. That chapter. And Jesus made the statement, and where I go you know, and the way you know. He said that to the disciples. Did any one of them really know what he was talking about? No. They were all sitting there, we don't really understand what he's saying. But who gave an honest response there? Thomas. He was the one that really spoke what was probably on all their minds. He said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How are we supposed to know the way? That's what Thomas said. He gave an honest response when the rest of the disciples remained quiet. So we could know Thomas as Thomas the Honest. But we don't, do we? We know Thomas, and what Thomas goes down in history for is what we just read in John chapter 20. And what I want us to understand is, again, Thomas, we should be able to relate to him. And the rest of the disciples should be able to relate to Thomas. Because, you know, Thomas said, unless I can touch his hands where the nail prints were and reach my hand in the side where he was pierced, if he said, unless I can do those things, what did he say? I will not believe. What did Thomas need? Proof. What wasn't he willing to just believe? Somebody else's report. But if you remember, the rest of the disciples were like that, weren't they? When Jesus first rose from the grave, and the women came to the tomb, and there were two angels that stood there at the tomb, and they told the women in the end, he is not here, but he is risen. And then the women went back and told the disciples. And what did the disciples, what was their response? No. Yeah, we don't believe you. They weren't willing to just take somebody else's word for it, were they? So really, as you think about the rest of the disciples and you think about Thomas, there is no difference between the two. But in this situation, if you look back in John chapter 20, verse 24, Jesus had appeared to all the other disciples when they were together, but who wasn't there? Thomas. In verse 24 it says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. He hadn't seen Jesus yet. The rest of the disciples had, and they told him, oh, we saw him. He said, no, I need to see it for myself. Are you and I any different than that? You ever have somebody tell you something? You say, I don't know, I need to see that for myself. You ever thought that? Been in that situation? That's how I am. It's called just a little bit of skepticism. And it's also called doubt. And Thomas had a bit of that. He wasn't willing to take somebody else's word. But what I want us to look at this morning, how did Jesus respond to that? Because as we look here then, Jesus appeared again and Thomas was there. Jesus, as he comes in, the first thing he said, the doors were shut and he just appeared. I mean, that would get your attention, wouldn't it? So the first thing he says is peace. Peace be to you. In other words, don't be alarmed. It's okay. He relieved their fears that they had. And then the first person he talked to was Thomas. Because again, Jesus knew his heart. He knew that there was some doubt there. He knew that Thomas had said, unless I can touch him, I'm not going to believe. And Jesus said to him, reach here your finger, behold my hands, reach here your hand, thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. What did Jesus do for Thomas there? He put his doubts to rest, didn't he? He said, go ahead, touch my hands. Go ahead, reach where I was pierced. Do that and then believe. Because here's the thing I want us to understand. I want us to think about what we can really learn from this. And the first thing I want us to understand is doubts shouldn't define us. Do you ever have any doubts in your life? It would be nice to say, no, I never doubt. I'm never like Thomas. I'm never like the rest of the disciples when they didn't believe the women who had returned from the tomb. But the reality is doubt can be situational. We can have faith in one area and yet doubt in another. I mean, that's what we just talked about with Thomas. He had faith when he said, let's go and just die with Jesus. He had faith in his Lord that he was willing to follow him anywhere. We can look at Thomas when he gave an honest response. Jesus, we don't know where you're going. We don't know the way, but we want to. He had faith in those situations. And yet here, did his faith lack? Did he doubt? Yep. Folks, we need to understand. We can have faith in one area. We can know that God's going to work and we trust in that. But then we're faced with another area where those doubts creep in. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's a financial situation. Maybe it's a situation with family or with children. We all have those in our lives, don't we? And can there be a situation we get faced with where we start to doubt? Where we start to wonder, God, how are you going to do this? You don't seem to be just fixing the problem immediately. So God, are you going to do this? What's your timeline? What's it going to look like? What steps, God, are you going to take to fix this? And we have those doubts that can creep in. If we're honest with ourselves and with each other, we all have those at times, don't we? Don't we? Here's the thing. Don't let that define you. Don't let that be all that you're known for. And the other thing we need to realize is we can admit our doubts to Jesus. Because guess what? He knows them anyway. Do we understand that? Would it have done Thomas any good to hide his doubt from Jesus?
No.
To say, oh, no, 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 I believe. No, Jesus knew his doubts. That's why he spoke to Thomas before Thomas said a word. Folks, Jesus knows our doubts. We can admit them to him. Even Peter, as we talked about last week, when Jesus asked him three times, do you love me? By the third time, what did Peter say? Jesus, you know that I do. So you know everything about me. You know that I love you. Jesus knows what thoughts we have. He knows the struggles we have. And he knows at times we struggle with doubt, wondering whether God will and how God will, and wanting to know how he's going to do it. He knows that we struggle with that at times, so it's okay to admit that to him. And the third thing to understand is, when we have those doubts, can Jesus help us with those? Absolutely. Did he help Thomas with his doubts? Yeah. I mean, just imagine this in your mind, this situation right here. When he was talking to Thomas and he said, go ahead, here, touch my hands. Go ahead, feel the nail print in my hand. Go ahead, put your hand in my side and feel where the sword pierced me. Did Jesus have to do that?
No.
So why did he? To strengthen Thomas's faith. And you know what? We don't know exactly. Thomas continued to follow Jesus. That much we know. We don't know exactly what Thomas did. It doesn't say in the Bible. There are traditions and other history books that say that he went and he shared the gospel in the country of India, long ways off. And tradition holds that he eventually was beheaded for sharing his belief in Jesus Christ. So even though he doubted here, did his faith in the end remain strong? Yes. Just because we may doubt, don't let Satan again beat you up with that. Jesus can help us overcome those doubts. I want you to look in another place. Turn to Mark. Gospel of Mark. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Because here again is a story about a man who is willing to admit some doubt. Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 23. And I want to give you just a little background for what's going on in this story. There was a man who had a son. And his son was possessed. That's not a good thing, is it? And what happened was his son was possessed to the point where he would throw himself into the fire. Or he would throw himself into the water to drown. That's how bad it was. And then Mark 9, beginning in verse 23. And Jesus said to this man, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. That sounds like a simple statement, doesn't it? All you have to do is just believe. Is that always as easy as it sounds? No. Because doubts can enter in. And we can wonder, God, how are you going to do it? God, are you going to do it? But he said, all you have to do is believe. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears. So this man was sincere. And what did he say? Lord, I believe. Well, that's good, right? But it always has struck me as interesting what he says right after that. Lord, I believe. But what did he say after that? But help my unbelief. Why did he say that? Did he let doubt define him? Did he admit his doubt to Jesus?
Yes.
And then what did Jesus do in the end? He cast out the demon. The man's son was made whole. But when you think of this man, he went through those same steps. He was willing to admit his doubt, his weakness. He was willing to admit it to Jesus. He said, Lord, I believe. What he was really saying is, I want to fully and wholly believe. I want to fully and wholly trust. I want to believe that you can and that you will. Do you have that desire?
Yeah.
Are you awake?
Yeah.
All right. Do you have that desire? Is it in your heart? Do you really say, Lord, I want to believe that you can and will do all kinds of amazing things in my life? But is the reality there are some times when you maybe wonder? This man admitted it. And again, it's okay to admit that weakness and that doubt to Jesus. It's okay to say, Lord, I believe, but any unbelief that's in here, help me with that. That's what this man said, help my unbelief. He was saying, help turn this unbelief and this doubt into what? Belief. Folks, it's okay to ask Jesus for help. It's okay to admit we have weaknesses. Are you good at that? No. I stink at it. My wife Tammy's down here. Yeah. I don't like asking for help. I don't like admitting that I even need help. If there's any chance whatsoever that I can do it on my own, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do it on my own. Even if it's foolish and stupid. Even if my wife tells me not to. Even if my wife says, that's stupid, call your dad, call your son, get somebody to come over and help. Guess what I try to do anyway? Try to do it by myself. And then if I can't, or if I hurt myself or mess something up, then I'm like, oh yeah, I should have asked for help. Folks, we can be so much the same way spiritually. I can do this on my own. I can figure it out. I don't have any weakness. Folks, admit our weakness to Jesus. We have weakness. We have doubts at times. Admit those to Him. Lord, I want to believe, but I'm struggling with this. It's okay to admit to God that you struggle. Actually, it's okay to admit to each other that we struggle. But we don't like doing that, do we? But folks, that's how we grow. Do you think this man that said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, do you think he grew through this situation? Thomas, when Jesus finally let him reach, touch his nail prints and the place in his side, do you think Thomas's faith was strengthened by that in the end? Yes. Folks, we can have doubts. Just don't live in that doubt. Admit it to Jesus and let Him help with it. Any weaknesses that we have, admit them to Jesus and let Him help. Ask for His help. If there's a situation in your life that you're starting to doubt that can change or that God can work in, folks, that's called doubt. Are we willing to admit that? That doesn't mean you have to be called a doubter. That just means in that area you need help from Christ to help you with your belief, don't you? And I am never going to label you Jim the doubter or Travis the doubter or Forrest the doubter, because that's all of it. But when we put our trust and hope in Jesus, when we look to Him, call on Him, and ask Him for help, He will confirm our faith and increase our faith and strengthen our faith. Isn't that a great thing? This morning, I don't know what all you're facing in life. I have no idea. I may have a picture of it. Maybe you've shared some things with me, but I don't certainly understand it all. But what I do know is no matter what you're facing, when you reach out to Jesus, when you ask for His help, guess what He's going to do? He's going to help. He's going to strengthen your faith. And in the end, you will be blessed. You know, Jesus went on to tell Thomas, you've seen and believed, but blessed are they which have not seen and believed. Well, folks, that's hard. But I just encourage you, never be afraid to admit your weaknesses to Jesus. He knows them anyway. And when we do that, He'll give us the help that we need to overcome whatever that weakness is. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank You again for this day. I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for what it teaches us. And Lord, as we look at the man we know is doubting Thomas, remind us He was also Thomas the brave. He was also Thomas the honest. But He had a situation where He doubted. Lord, I know that can be any of us at times in our lives. We can have situations where we're brave. We can have situations where we're honest, where our faith shines through. But then we can have another area where we struggle, where we doubt, where we question. But Lord, I pray in that we're willing just to admit it to you, to ask for your help, to ask you to help us with our unbelief, to ask you to help us with whatever that weakness is. And I know that we serve a God that will respond, that will strengthen, that will reassure, and I thank you for that. Work in our hearts this morning, Lord. And I ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning as we close, the altar's open. I don't know what you're struggling with, but come and pray about it. Don't let stubbornness win out. I need to remind myself that quite often. Don't let stubbornness win. Come and talk to the Lord about it. If you want me to pray with you, I will. If you just want to talk to the Father, that's okay too. But the altar's open. How I've learned to trust Him. It's a learning process, isn't it? Are you there yet? But I pray we're heading that direction. And just know that Jesus is already always ready to teach us and to help us grow. Let's bow our heads as we close in prayer. Lord God, I thank you again for this day. I thank you that you are ready to reach down and to help us to increase our faith, to help us in the times that we doubt, to help us in our times of weakness. I thank you for that. Lord, I pray that as we leave this place that we would leave just with a heart and a spirit that's just ready to go share your word with others around us. That's not afraid, that's brave, that's honest with people, and ready to share your word. So thank you again for being with us in this place. Walk with us as we go from here, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you, and remember, in just a couple moments, we'll have a meeting for any of those who want to plan Bible school. Thank you.